Okay. So we're going to read Colossians 1:6. I'm reading out of the NIV, I think. Yeah. But whatever translation, just read it. Okay. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Okay, so I want to talk about the part where it says, and truly understood God's grace. So today, I'm going to talk about God's grace. And I feel like whenever people say this, I don't know, this could just be me, but I feel like there's two reactions that people have whenever they hear someone talk about God's grace. Either they say, yes, God's grace, or they say, oh my gosh, no, what is she going to say? I don't know. So I'm going to talk, I don't know if you guys, well, I'll explain more. But basically, like, we talk about grace so much, and we say, like, you know, we're saved by grace. There's so many songs that include the word grace in them. But a lot of times, I think we throw that word around without even knowing exactly what it means. And we use it a lot of times. And I started hearing it a lot in a lot of different messages, and a lot of people were talking about it. And I just started getting confused. I was like, well, because I would hear people say, like, you know, I can do this. I can, you know, do whatever I want because of God's grace. And then I would hear people get upset about people saying that and say, no, like, God's grace isn't that. Like, it's not a license to sin. You know, I would hear all these things. And then I realized I was never asking God, like, what does grace mean to you, God? Like, what does that word mean? And so, like, I asked God, I said, I want you to take me through a journey to show me what grace means, because I'm not satisfied with just hearing what everyone else says grace is. I'm not satisfied with hearing everyone else's definition of grace. I want to know what yours is, Jesus, and I want to live in that grace that you have defined for me. And so I didn't realize that was such a, not a bad question, but just such a heavy question to ask God to take me through a journey. Like, when you ask God to do that, he's going to do it. He's going to take you through a journey to show you that. And I don't think that I've just begun the journey, so I don't know exactly what grace is, but I'm going to help you guys kind of, I don't know, just open up your minds to see that maybe grace is something different than what you thought before. So if you guys are taking notes, some of you guys might not be note takers, but if you are, I have a couple of things that you can write down, and we're going to talk about these things. Number one, I want you to write down, grace is empowerment, okay? And then I'm going to explain that. I'm going to give you a story. So grace is empowerment, and also I want you to write down, this is really important, grace is Jesus leaning towards me, okay? Grace is empowerment, and grace is Jesus leaning towards me. So, I forgot to give you guys the background of the Colossians, because I think that's really important when you're reading the Bible, is to know, like, who the author is writing to. So I have this little insert thing in my Bible that talks about the Colossians. And so basically, I'm just going to read this. The Colossians were mostly Gentiles, but like the Galatians, they were being pressured to follow the Jewish law and were adding extra rules and false teachings to the faith. Some of them were priding themselves on having visions and getting secret spiritual knowledge. So Paul wrote them a letter to say, when you've got Jesus the Messiah, you've got it all. So this is kind of like, I don't know, we're talking about these Colossians I feel like they were in the same boat as a lot of us are. Like, we just hear messages where people say, you know, like, you can't do this, you have to do this, that, that, that. They just keep going on. And then you have other people that are just way out there about, like, really spiritual things. And so I feel like these people were really confused and kind of in the same situation that I felt like that I was in. I'm sure some of you guys have experienced that too. We're just like, I don't know, you know? And so this is kind of, I just wanted to give you guys the background of who Paul is speaking to in this letter. Okay, so I just want to, as I was preparing last night, I just wanted to tell you guys that, like, I don't know, one thing that I learned when I was in Colombia is, like, just to be dependent on Jesus, because, like, you can't really depend on anything else whenever you're in, like, a completely different environment, and, like, it's kind of hard to express yourself in Spanish, and it's just, I don't know, I just felt really alone a lot of times. And so I just kind of learned to depend on Jesus. And that's like one of the best things that we can learn to do is depend on him. So I just wanted to just put that little drop in there so you guys, and it's okay to depend on him. It's totally okay to say, hey, I don't have everything together. I'm not perfect. Jesus, I'm messing up. I need you. That is perfectly fine. Actually, that's what you need to do. You know, but we have this idea that we have to have everything put together. And the moment that we have a question about God, we think everything's like, you know, gone. And like that happened to me so many times when I was in Colombia. I was like, man, like I'm a missionary down here in Colombia and I don't even know if God's hearing me. Like, what is happening? Who am I? Like, am I a Christian anymore? And like all these things like start going on in your head. But it's okay, you know? It's okay to have all those questions. It's okay not to be sure. And it's okay to depend on God, to depend on Jesus, because that's what he was made for us to depend on him, you know? Let's see. So going back about grace. So I researched it that in the Bible, the word grace is used about 130 times. That's kind of a lot of times, but also it depends on what version you're using in the Bible. So it could be more, it could be less. So if you go research it, don't say, she was wrong. It was just because of the version that I researched. It said there's 130 times. And so we know that it's something important, but we don't know what it is usually. So I told you guys I was going to tell you a story, and I'm going to get really real, and it's going to be a vulnerable thing for me to talk about, but that's what Jesus wanted me to do, so I'm going to do it. So when I was in Colombia, I bought a bunch of souvenirs for my family, like coffee, bracelets, bags, stuff like that. And one souvenir that I came back with was, like, really bad skin. And, like, I came home, and like, I'm like, hey, family. And they're like, oh, well, that's how it was for me. But I just, my skin, like, got really broken out. And while I was in Colombia, like, people would ask me, like, oh, my gosh, like, what happened to your skin? Is there something wrong? Like, are you eating something bad or whatever? Is it the pollution? All trying to find all these things. And I was like, you know, I have no idea. And so then I started, like, you know, eating healthier and drinking more water and doing all the things that people were telling me to do. And nothing got better. Like, the harder I tried, it seemed the worse things got with my skin. And I don't know if you guys are picking up on a little message there. The harder I tried, the worse my skin got. The harder we work, the harder we try to be perfect, the more things that we do to try to please God, the worse things turn out. Because dead works will produce death, okay? And we can do things thinking that we're doing them for Jesus, but if in our heart we're doing it to please him out of a way to say, you know, God's not happy with me, I need to make him happy, I need to make these people happy, that's going to produce death every single time. And I feel like some people out there really need to hear that. I'm preaching to myself mostly, you know? And anyway, so my skin just kept getting worse and worse. And then so one day I was at Rhema, and one of my really nice old lady friends came up to me, and she, you know how grandmas are, like, you know, looking out for their grandchildren. So she was just asking me about my skin, and I was just like so tired of people asking me about it, and I just got really sad. And so I went and I found a nearby park, and I just sat in the park, and I just started crying, and I was like, Jesus, like, what the heck is going on with me? Like, why is this happening? And I just feel so gross. And he was like, I'm teaching you about my grace. And I was like, oh, shoot, I forgot I asked him about that. I asked him to take me on a journey to show me what grace is all about. And this is what it looks like. Bad skin. But God is such a good dad, you know? Like, I don't know if you guys are in the habit of doing this, or it might just be me that needs to do it, but if you don't do this and you want to, you can just, like, write down things, and, like, God will speak to you, like, through your writing. So that's what he does with me. And I started writing down some stuff, and he was just telling me, like, how beautiful he saw me and, like, how much he loved me, but that how he was empowering me. And because I was feeling, like, really shameful for my skin. Like, I wanted to, like, stay further away from people because I didn't want them to come too close to, like, see. Because, like, you guys are at a good distance right now. Like, you can't really see my skin up so close. But So I was feeling a lot of shame, and this is what he told me. He said, fear and shame keeps us disempowered and weak. It makes us give in to those things that hurt and destroy us because we feel we have no authority to change those things. Grace is empowerment. So basically, like, I just realized, like, that God was teaching me, you know, like, every time you try, like, so hard to do the right thing, or every time you try to not sin, it's gonna get worse and worse, you know? But when you give it to God and you say, like, you know, I'm depending on you, and he'll take that fear and shame away that disempowers you, and he'll give you something that empowers you, and that's grace. And when we can learn to live in that, oh, beautiful things happen, you know? And so I'm still, like, learning more about grace, but that's one thing that I want to share with you guys, that grace is empowerment, okay? And then another thing, what I told you guys earlier, grace is Jesus leaning towards us, or towards me. And so, like I said, you guys are at a good distance, like, you can't see my skin up close. And so that's how I was, like, treating kind of people, because I didn't want them to see me up close. And so, but Jesus, like, he's leaning towards me. So I have another story to tell you guys. Let me make sure I'm not skipping over my verses, because I have some really good scripture. No? Okay, we're good. Okay, so basically, when I got home from from Colombia to the States, like, I just kind of felt really weird. Like, I didn't really fit in that much. And then I came back with, like, really bad skin, and it was even worse. And so one day I was just, like, sitting in my living room, and I think everyone was asleep. And I just, like, I was just asking Jesus, I was like, if you were here, like, physically right now, like, what would you do right now? I don't know. I was just thinking. I don't know why I asked that. But I did. I said, like, so, like, what would you do? And so I closed my eyes and had a vision. No, I'm acting like the Colossians, you know, boasting about their spiritual knowledge. But I had this, like, picture, I guess, that I saw Jesus, like, walk in from our porch door, the deck, you know, and he walked in and he came straight towards me and he laid his hands on my skin, like, right, the worst part of my skin. And I'm like, Jesus, why would you do that? Like, that's not nice. Don't do that. And he just came super, super close and touched my skin and just, like, started rubbing my skin. And then he started kissing my skin. And he said, he held my face. He said, you are beautiful. And then I kind of just, like, you know, got out of that picture that I had in my mind. And then I just started to cry. And I know that probably sounds, like, really weird to you guys, just having, like, pictures like that. But that was, like, God teaching me about grace, too. Like, when there's nothing you can do to fix something, Jesus is the one that comes straight to where your insecurity is, where your worst sin is, and he kisses that and says, I love you. You're beautiful. Like, I don't know, like, what if you guys are thinking, like, you guys are beautiful, you don't have bad skin, but, like, but just think of, like, one insecurity that you really have, or one sin that you just try to keep everyone really distant because you don't want them to come too close to see that sin. Jesus comes straight to that sin and he kisses it. And that sounds really weird. And he says, I love you. And that's grace, Jesus leaning towards you. And also, well, the reason I came up with that thing, Jesus leading towards you, is I thought that I'd be a good preacher and look up a Greek word, because I think preachers do that sometimes. They look up Greek words. So I looked up a Greek, what is it called, cognate for grace, and I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's like charis or something like that, and charis, and it basically means leaning towards. Did you guys know that? That is really cool, huh? And so that's, like, you know, what I was saying, Jesus leaning, coming close, not trying to stay away, not trying to run away from your sin, not wanting to look at it, but coming directly to it. Like, that's the first thing he sees, but he's not coming to you know, condemn that sin. He's not coming straight there to say, oh, no, you got to fix this. He's coming there to love that area, because that's where you have hurt and that's where you have pain. And so that's something that grace is. And so we can learn to rest in that. I have a really, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I want us to turn to Luke 7:36. Luke 7:36. Okay. Okay, so are you guys almost? Yeah, you're there. Okay. Luke 7:36. And we're going to read all the way through verse 39. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in the town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Okay, so I did a little bit of research, and I found out that the prostitutes in this time were the women that were most involved in makeup, jewelry, and perfume. And so if you, and I specifically looked into the perfume part, and if you wore perfume, it was a sign that you were beautiful and that you were very healthy if you had a good smell about you. And so, like, I was thinking that this perfume that this prostitute had was probably helping her win or earn a lot of clients, you know, because it was a sign that she was beautiful. So she would be chosen, I think. Like, if there was a group of prostitutes, she'd be chosen because she had this perfume. And also, I found out that during this time, perfume was really, really sticky and kind of messy. So that's just a good thing to keep in your mind, because I'm going to talk about that. But so anyways, this lady, she takes this perfume and she comes close to Jesus, this guy who's saying that he's the Son of God, and she pours it all over him, okay? And so I was just thinking, like, this perfume, like, I researched and it said that the Christian women, they didn't have perfume, they didn't have, you know, makeup or jewelry during this time. And so this woman, the fact that she had this perfume was a sign that she was probably a prostitute, that just the very fact that she was holding it, you know? So that's kind of her just, like, revealing or bringing to the light, being vulnerable with Jesus and just saying, like, here is something that identifies me as a prostitute, identifies my sexual immorality. This perfume, this alabaster jar, this shows, you know, that I'm a sinner. So she brings it to this man that's the Son of God, and she pours it on his feet. And that's the gift that she brings. And it's a messy gift because it's sticky, you know? Like I told you guys, it was sticky back then. So it wasn't just like a beautiful thing. It was probably like really gross on his feet and sticky. But that's the gift that Jesus wants us to bring. That's the gift that we need to bring, is that gross, sticky gift that we have that might be like something that's like, I don't know, that signifies or symbolizes that sin that we have, that insecurity that we don't want anyone to know, like that we don't want, that we want to keep hidden in the darkness. She came out in the light, and she was in a room filled with religious people. She was in a room filled with Pharisees, and she came and she brought that jar and said, "Hey, like, I'm giving this to Jesus," you know? And then after that, I want us to read Luke 7, 47 and 48. Just a little bit further down. Okay. "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little..." Oh, wait. Did I skip that? Am I reading the right thing? Yeah, I am. Okay. But it's actually not 47. We're going to go up to, I think 44. Yeah, let's go up to 44. Luke 7:44. Okay. "Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little.' Then Jesus said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.'" Isn't that just such a beautiful picture of repentance? You know, people hear the word, also hear the word repentance, and we don't really know what that means either. And we kind of get nervous when we hear that, like, oh no, I got to repent. I got to repent. But it was something beautiful. She was in love with Jesus, you know, like that said, her great love, you know, she poured that out, and it was a symbol of her sin, you know, and she poured that out on Jesus's feet. And I want us to read something else about her in Matthew 26:13. Okay, truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And so I saw this the other day, and I was like, oh my gosh, like this is such a message of the gospel. It's such a message of Jesus. And it actually says we're supposed to be teaching or preaching this when we preach the gospel. We're supposed to be talking about this lady, and so many times we don't, you know? We just try to like say something really fast and get people to pray prayer really, really fast, and then we leave, you know? But what if we started to like, you know, live out what this lady did? Don't you think people would start to see that? Us like walking in that grace, knowing that Jesus is leaning towards us, you know, knowing that Jesus is empowering us, that is his grace. If we could learn, and I don't even know what that means, like to walk in it, but we need to learn to do that, you know, just to live that out in our lives so that people can see that and come to know Jesus through the way that we live, not just the things that we say, you know. So, I just wanted to tell you guys that, like, that's something that I kind of was emphasized to me while I was in Colombia, just about the message of grace. Like, that just so many times, like, we hear many words lots of times, and we get accustomed to hearing those words, but we actually don't ask God, like, what does that mean? And I want to encourage you guys to be bold before Jesus and ask him questions, because he loves to answer your questions. And also, I just want to give you guys, like, Jonathan, if you could come up and, like, sing that song. I have a really good song that I like that just talks about depending on Jesus. And I want, like, you guys can stay in your seat, sit down or stand up or come to the front and pour out your hearts to Jesus. But I just want you guys to think about that sin that I was talking about, that really gross thing that you don't want anyone to come close to look at, that you don't want anyone to see, that you don't want Jesus to see, that you want to hide in the darkness, that you don't want to be really vulnerable about it because it makes you feel uncomfortable. But I want you to just bring that to the front, bring it to Jesus and pour it at his feet. And he likes those really messy offerings. So I guess if you guys want to, you can stand up if you'd like to. Thank you for listening to me. And I really think that God is alive and that he's here and that he can minister to your hearts, and that you don't need, I mean, I love it when I receive something from ministers, but today I'm not going to like lay hands on you guys. I'm not going to pray for you because I feel like God is here and he can do that. You know, just open up your heart and bring that gift to him and be vulnerable in that specific thing, you know, just say, hey, here it is, God. Like, I want you to love it. I want you to take it.